praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. We're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find out more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, we hope you enjoy today's program. Many items of the Old Testament are later associated with Christ in the New Testament. Among the most frequently discussed items are the offerings that became part of the service in the tabernacle and later the temple. What do these Old Testament animal offerings have to do with our Savior Christ and with our own experience of His divine life in us? Please stay with us for today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Again today, our program brings us to the Old Testament book of Exodus, and Francis Ball has joined us once again. Now we're looking at the offerings in the tabernacle. Welcome back to the broadcast, Francis.
Well, these broadcasts are always very interesting and enlightening, so I'm always happy to be here.
We got a couple of letters recently from some listeners in Ireland, and it was interesting you would say that because they use those same two words, interesting and enlightening, really a look at the scriptures that quite unlike anything they had been exposed to before. I think maybe there's a number of people listening that are having that experience that are following along. So this is always an encouraging word to us. Well, Francis, we're in the section of the Life Study of Exodus now that touches the offerings. The offerings of the Old Testament have long been connected to or associated with Christ. And the New Testament does make it clear that Christ on the cross was the real fulfillment of many of these offerings, like the sin offering and the trespass offering that we'll see today. Did you get exposed to this kind of teaching when you were a young Christian?
Yes, I believe I did. Of course, I've been listening to this ministry and participating in it now for about 35 years, but I was a Christian for about 20 years before that, and I did hear some of these things. I read some of the books by the British Brethren and ones like that, and they touch these kind of things somewhat, but not as experiential as I've learned since. But the facts are there that the offerings are a type of Christ.
It opens up a very rich development of things that we have seen and enjoyed in the New Testament, in the Gospels even, but to see them from this perspective through these Old Testament pictures and offerings is quite a wonderful enlargement and development, isn't it, of these basic things.
Very enlightening and refreshing, and I would say helpful for us to be able to know Christ in a more intimate, experiential, and subjective way.
That's really our goal in touching these matters, is not just to come away with some spiritual knowledge or biblical knowledge that we can impress our friends with. If this doesn't bring us into more genuine and intimate experience of Christ, then we've missed our charge, haven't we?
That's right.
Well, let's join Witness Lee with this first portion today, and then we'll be back for some fellowship.
Now we are going to see the priestly food.
Amen.
The priestly garments are just different aspects of Christ. In the same principle, the priestly food is also the different aspect of Christ. The first thing is Christ as a bull to be the priest's sin offering. Christ must be our sin offering. Sin offering is altogether not goat for us, the priest, to eat. Here it tells us sin offering is altogether burnt. And the burning of the same one sin offering is of two kinds of burning. One burning is a sweet burning, and this burning brings forth or produces a kind of sweet smelling, a kind of a sweet savior ascending to God to satisfy God. And this burning is the burning as the burning of the incense. And this burning is not for judgment. It's not for purification. This burning is God's enjoying. It's God's enjoyment. When the priest burned the incense into a sweet smell, that is for God's enjoyment.
Amen.
God enjoys that smell. This implies this burning satisfies all God's requirements. God's requirements is mainly of three categories. The requirements of God's righteousness, the requirements of God's holiness, and the requirements of God's glory. Could you follow me? This is one of the two kinds of burning. The second kind is the burning of the meat, the flesh. And these parts are burned with a burning of judgment. The second burning is a burning of judgment. And this burning was not on the altar. This burning was outside the camp, signifying a kind of abandonment, a kind of judgment. Christ, on the one hand, was accepted as a sweet Savior to God to satisfy all the requirements of God, on the one hand. On the other hand, Christ was abandoned, was condemned, was judged, and was burned outside of God's dwelling place, even outside of God's people.
Francis, we had a good time in a program seeing how the priests needed to be full of feasting on these offerings. In other words, these offerings then became their food. But now we're seeing one offering particularly, the sin offering, was not to be eaten by the priests. Why were the priests not allowed to enjoy a portion of this offering?
Well, this offering, the sin offering, was for God's satisfaction, first of all, and to meet all of God's requirements. For example, His righteousness, His holiness, and His glory are all demands on us. To know God as righteousness means that we realize how unrighteous we are. And to know that He's holy, that exposes how unholy we are, and we have no glory that's really from God. So, first of all, this sin offering, one aspect of it is that it's for God's satisfaction, because Christ really satisfies in what He is as a sin offering. It satisfies all of God's requirements.
Francis, another aspect of the sin offering intrigued me as we were listening. I think we should look at this also, and that is that there were two parts to this offering. There was one part that was burnt or consumed on the altar that was inside the court, at least, of the tabernacle. And then the other part was actually burned outside the camp, is the phrase used in Exodus. What do these two different aspects point to then?
Well, I believe this has been made clear in this portion, but the part burned on the altar was as a sweet incense, fully for God's enjoyment. And as I mentioned, it was also for God's satisfaction concerning all the requirements that He makes, His holiness, righteousness, and glory. But the second aspect is the burning of parts of that offering outside the camp. That's away from God's people and away from God's house. And this relates to Christ being judged for us outside the camp or outside from God's people. It says He went outside the camp. In Hebrews, you have a reference like that that mentions that He bore our sins outside the camp. So this shows how Christ was abandoned and condemned, and being outside the camp, He bore our sins. These two aspects are two burnings, one burning at the altar and the other burning outside the camp. The burning at the altar was for God's satisfaction, and the sweet aroma of that was like incense to God. But the other burning is the burning outside the camp where God is judging sin, and he's judging Christ as sin. We know in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is marvelous. And to see that that is the meaning of these two aspects of the offering is very, very helpful, because we're never satisfying to God in ourselves, but Christ is. And we can't say that we are able to bear any sin. Only Christ can bear the guilt of our sin.
Yeah, sometimes we feel that our sin is so overwhelming it has caused us to be rejected or abandoned, as you said. But he really took all of that rejection, all of that abandonment upon himself, as seen by this second aspect of the sin offering. It's a marvelous view of everything that Christ, we will never probably ever fathom all that's included in his redemption, can we?
I don't believe so. And you know, I believe that even through eternity, we'll still appreciate that Christ was our sin offering.
Well, there's another offering in the Old Testament, the sin offering, and this other one is seemingly quite similar, and that is the trespass offering. We're going to look at how these two are the same and how they're different in this coming section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Are you going to be a priest to serve God? If you say yes, first of all, you have to realize you are still such a person. Wait! A sinful nature. Sin offering doesn't deal with our sins. It deals with our sinful nature. It is the trespass offering that deals with our sins. You see, the sin offering deals with our sin. This refers to what? Refers to our sinful nature. Even we have been saved. Before our transfiguration in our body, I tell you, we still have the sinful nature. You yourself can testify. I have been saved over 50 years, and tonight I can testify my sinful nature is still here. There's no eradication of our sinful nature. Our sinful nature is still here. So every time you come to serve, you have to realize you still have the sinful nature. You need firstly Christ to be your sin offering, to deal with your sinful nature. Let Christ fulfill God's requirements to satisfy God for God's enjoyment, and let Christ bear God's judgment for you. If you and I are going to be a priest serving God, first realization must be that we still have the sinful nature. So we still need experientially Christ to be our sin offering. We have to lay our hand upon Christ to get ourselves all together identified with Christ. In ourselves, we are even sin, condemned by God. We need Christ to be our what? To be our sin offering. This was the reason he was made sin, as told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It is the sweetness, the richness of his perfection that satisfies God, that ascends through the burning for God's enjoyment. And it is this Christ that is abandoned and judged by God for me. The washing of the word mainly deals with the outward defilement. Now, the dealing of the sin offering is a kind of dealing with our inward sinful nature. you must realize and admit that you, oh, are to be the priest to serve God, still have the sinful nature. You need Christ to be your sin offering. With all his perfections, to be burned to God for God's enjoyment and satisfaction for you. And you need Christ to bear God's abandonment and judgment for you.
Francis, as we mentioned earlier, two of these offerings in the Old Testament seem to have some overlap. Probably they get confused in the minds of many people, the sin offering and the trespass offering. Primarily today we're looking at the sin offering. But let's spend a little bit of time. How does it differ from the trespass offering? And why did the priest need both?
Well, the trespass offering, to me, it pretty well speaks for itself. There's a trespass. There's something been going beyond what we should do and done other than what we should do. So we've trespassed. The trespass offering deals with our acts of sin, our sinful behavior. And the sin offering deals with our sinful nature. And even though we've been saved, we have to realize that still we do have a sinful nature, and we will have a sinful nature until we're transfigured. That is, until our body is fully redeemed. This is our hope, the redemption of our body. But as long as we're in our body, we're going to have a sinful nature, and we will have such a nature until that day. But we need Christ as our sin offering, and we need Christ as our sin offering because our nature is sinful. So we have both the trespass offering to deal with what we do, and we have the sin offering to deal with what we are.
That's a very good distinction, the what we do versus the what we are. And so often we get quite bothered with what we do. But when we get another perspective, which is the divine one, probably God is a little more troubled by what we are, isn't he, than just what we do.
That's right. Because we are what we are, we do what we do. We're sinners, so we sin.
But we have a solution to both in these two marvelous pictures in the Old Testament, the sin offering and the trespass offering. Let's go back. You touched something in your response here that we're going to develop a bit more in this coming point, and that is this sin nature and whether we have it only until we get saved or from here on out until the Lord fully redeems us, even our body. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now you are going to be a priest to serve God. And you need what? No doubt you need outer washing with the word to put on Christ as your garments. But you also need what? The inward filling up. The inward nourishing. For your inward nourishing, you need a kind of a cleansing. And this cleansing is deeper. This cleansing is by what? This cleansing is by Christ as your sin offering. This kind of cleansing deals with your sinful nature. Every time when you come to serve God as a priest, you have to realize and admit that your nature is still sinful. I must tell you, you could never enjoy Christ so much without realizing that you still have the sinful nature that needs the dealing by Christ as your sin offering. Every day, the first offering we need is a sin offering. Every day, the first thing after rising up, you have to realize and admit that you are sinful. Your nature is sinful. You were born sin. You were born a sinner. Yes, you got regenerated, but your sinful nature is still here. Yes, you do have the Holy Spirit in your spirit, but your nature is still sinful. Are you going to enjoy Christ? You must realize and apply the sin offering to yourself. Sin offering prepares you. Sin offering prepares you for further and more enjoyment of Christ.
Well, Francis, there is a teaching that is very popular in many Christian circles today, and that is that the sin nature is eradicated at the time a person is born again or is saved. But the clear message in what we're hearing today is that not only is this an inaccurate teaching, but it even can be a very dangerous teaching. How is that?
Well, I have to repeat that we shall continue to have this sinful nature until our body is transfigured. I feel this is very crucial to our understanding and enjoying Christ in our daily living. I can testify that no matter how long we've been saved, our sinful nature does not change. I've been saved, as I mentioned a while ago, over 55, 60 years. And nevertheless, I must testify that my sinful nature is still very much with me. I must testify that I, even though I believe in the Lord Jesus, I still have that awareness that my sinful nature is still very active when I don't trust Christ, take Him, live by Him in my spirit. We should never believe that doctrine of so-called eradication. The teaching of that sinful nature is eradicated. This is not only not true, but it's very damaging. It can cause people to believe that they can't sin since they got born again, and so they do sin, and then they call it something else, a mistake or a weakness, and the result is they don't confess. So they lose their fellowship with the Lord they could have by just realizing that this nature is still with us. Our spirit got regenerated. Praise the Lord for that. And gradually the Lord is transforming our soul by infusing into our mind God's thoughts and God's thinking, and also infusing into our emotion God's feeling and God's affection. And He infuses our will with God's intention and God's determination. So this is transforming our soul. But our flesh still is the flesh and will be the flesh until we're transfigured in our body. I mentioned earlier that the hope we have is that also to the end that we will be glorified by the transfiguration of our body. But that will take place at the Lord's coming. Now, while we're in this flesh, we have Christ as our sin offering, and we have Him we can turn to, we can enjoy Him, and we can suffer the fact that we are judged as sinners by the fact that Christ has answered this problem for us. But He didn't take away our sinful nature just by our being born again. There's still that sinful nature in our body. And I believe, Chris, that we really need to see. I hope all the listeners could realize that we need to see that when we got regenerated and when we became one with God, that was in our spirit. And we are going through a process to be fully transformed in our soul. And as long as we're in this body, we have to realize we need Christ as our sin offering, because our nature is sinful. You may not do many evil deeds, but even that is a result of the fact that we are still in this flesh, this fleshy body. But we do have a forgiveness, and we do have a cleansing, and we have a sin offering to really answer for our need.
I liked one thing that we heard Witness Lee talking about. The first thing when we wake up in the morning, if we have this realization that we need the Lord Jesus as our sin offering, right at that moment, before the first thought even has penetrated the, you know, the sleep and the cobwebs that are clearing up, before anything begins to penetrate and operate, we can lay hold of Him as our sin offering. It can have a big impact on the kind of day that we have.
That's right. And if we start our day with a calling on the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus, I need You today. If I'm left to myself, I will not live You, but I have You in me, and I need You today. If we start every day contacting the Lord like this, we will enjoy Christ as our sin offering.
For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. These programs consist of excerpts from Witness Lee's spoken ministry, along with our discussion and comments, and all focusing on God's heart's desire that we would enjoy Christ as the divine life for man. There are more than 1,700 programs like this one available online, free of charge, that you can download, stream live, or add to your podcast subscription. Just visit our website, lsmradio.com. That's lsmradio.com. You can also reach us by email, radio@lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.